that God has put on my heart truly is a powerful message, and I hope that it'll not only inspire women, but that it will inspire men. How many of you know that in the Bible, we can learn things, even though we may be male genetically, we can learn things from the lives of women. And many of the great characteristics that we see in women are not just characteristics that are supposed to be in women alone. They're characteristics that God would like to see in all of us. Remember, in Christ, there is either male nor female, Jew nor Greek. We are all one. Can you say amen? And so if we can see characteristics that are honored by God in the lives of women, it's also characteristics that as men, we need to say, hey, I need to work on that in my life. So guys, just because it's Mother's Day and we're talking about a mother's topic does not mean that you can fade away and check out and snooze on me. Because if I see eyes closed, I'm going to have to come rattle your traps this morning, okay? We want you to stay awake. We want you, and I know some of you guys have been up since about 6 a.m. over there working, and I do appreciate that. But now it's time to get serious and receive from the Lord. So everybody, where you're seated, just lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Come on, every person, we're going to do something a little bit differently today. Say this out loud. Holy Spirit. I am prepared to receive from you. I'm ready for a fresh word that will change me, transform me, that will set me free, strengthen me, and make me better than what I am. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is In Search of a Virtuous Woman. I'm going to be sharing a few scriptures here from Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 is the chapter in the Bible that most women would know. It's a chapter that you can hold dear to your heart because it really begins to articulate what a virtuous woman should be like and the traits of a virtuous woman. I want to do things a little bit differently today because I'm not going to read the entire length of scripture. I'm going to pop over a couple of things that I feel are important, and then I'm going to preach a sermon around that. So I'm going to start with Proverbs 31. We're going to read verses 10 through 12, and then we're going to drop down and read verses 28 through 31. So if you're following along in your Bible, you'll understand there's a whole section of scripture that we are going to skip over, not because it's not important. Everybody look at me. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. Every single word in the Bible is of importance and of weight and of value. And just because we're going to read and skip a few verses does not mean that Pastor Richard doesn't think those verses are important. But there is a topic that I'm building my message around today, and I want to focus on that. And you know me, if I get reading too many Bible verses, I'm going to preach for a long time. And like I was told a few weeks back, God gave me a word through a friend of mine. He said, Pastor, love your preaching, but you got to remember, the heart can only receive what the rear can endure. And I'm telling you, that's a word from God. And we don't want to lose people. We want to build people up. So let's go ahead and get started in doing that. Proverbs 31, 10 and 12, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous and capable woman? Now, I'm reading to you from the New Living Translation. I'm doing that for a purpose. Who can find a virtuous and capable woman? She is of more worth, she is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will be great, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then skipping down to verse 28, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her, and this is the praise that he gives her. Notice what her husband says. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in this world, but Kelly, you surpass them all. Where is my wife? I am sucking up to my wife today, and not because I did anything wrong, just because, you know, this is a day that we are supposed to pamper women. According to the Bible, and we're going to see this here in a moment, pampering women is something that is scriptural. Honoring women and building women up is something that is not a man-made holiday. It should happen every day, but we set aside one day to remind us. You know, one of the kids said next door, hey, there's Father's Day and there's Mother's Day. Chris said, hey, we should have Children's Day. I'm like, every day seems to be the kids' day, at least at our house. I don't think it's fair that we only get one day, dads. And probably some of you women think it's not fair that you only get one day. But nonetheless, let's read on. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. And these are the words that he says. There are many virtuous and capable women, but you surpass them all. If you're sitting beside your wife, grab her hand. And just look at her and say, honey, you take the cake in more ways than one. Come, you didn't do it, man. Grab that woman's hand and pamper that woman beside you this morning. There are many virtuous women. There are many wonderful women of God. But honey, you surpass them all. This is the word of God. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be greatly praised. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. Reward her for all she has done. Everybody look up here at me. The Bible tells us to reward virtuous women. Why? Because they're rare. Because they matter to God. In fact, what we're going to talk about today is God is searching for virtuous women. He is searching the earth with his eyes that miss nothing, looking for women of virtue. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Join me as we pray. Lord, we open up our hearts to you now. And God, we are so thankful for the women that you have placed in this church. We are so thankful for the women that you have placed in our lives. Faithful women of God, women that have committed their lives to you. So today, God, as we honor them, we also ask that you would help us to glean from this message the things that you would want us to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want you to know is never forget, according to the Bible, a virtuous woman is of great value. Everybody say great value. Great value. She is worth more than money could ever pay for. I kid my wife all the time. And I tell my wife on a regular basis, I have too much invested in you to just walk away. You think about the amount of money that is invested in a marriage over the course. My wife and I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage in October. Glory to God. If you don't believe in miracles, I'm proud to say I'm 38 years old. I've been with my wife, married to my wife, more years than I lived without my wife. I'm so thankful. And I'll tell you, it's been much better with her than it was without her. Why is that? Because God creates a suitable mate for everybody, a helpmate. That's God's plan. And if you will just be patient and wait on the Lord, you won't need to seek marriage counseling. You know what happens? When instead of marrying the rib, you marry the funny bone. Or the jawbone. Men, don't be marrying your jawbone. You understand what I'm saying? God took from man a rib, according to the Bible. And he formed Eve and gave Eve to man as a gift so that he could have a mate. Some men don't wait on the rib to get formed. They go marry the jaw. And then they get nagged and bagged and all that other stuff all the time. Some men, we don't even want to go there. But wait on the Lord. Can you say amen? Boy, I tell you, God knows what he's doing as he's preparing your wife for you, fellas. Wait on the Lord. So she is of worth more worth than money could ever pay for. And I love what the scripture says here because we live in a culture in which marriage has become so devalued. And amongst young men, my age especially, we have bought into this idea that if we commit our lives at a level of marriage to a woman, that it's going to take away from our life. That we're not going to be able to run around and have fun. That we're not going to be able to enjoy in the things that youthful men enjoy in. But according to the Bible, a virtuous woman only makes her life, her husband's life, better. Amen. She makes his life greater. She completes him. She adds to him something that was missing and lacking. And he becomes more, not less. Can you say amen? The Bible says, according to Proverbs 31, that a virtuous woman's children speaks blessings over her. Moms, look up here at me. I know right now some of you have what we call teenagers, which, by the way, I don't know. I really think somebody kidnaps our children in about eighth grade and does some crazy stuff to them, and then we just have to spend the rest of their middle-aged years praying them out of whatever happened to them when they was 14. Anybody else ever notice this? Like one day, I'm serious, a switch flips. And they go from sweet, loving children like Bella in the video announcements this morning. How cute is that? Awesome. They go from there to who knows what you call that. I'm just going to try to be nice this morning. But something just changes instantly. And then, they may say mean things to their moms. I hate you. I can't stand you. I don't want to be around you. But listen, I want to encourage you in this. In the end, you persist in virtue because your children will speak blessings over you. Your children will declare good things about you. And primarily, one of the greatest things they'll be able to declare about you is how faithful you were to what you believed in. Can you say amen? Amen. She is beautiful and charming. The scripture says that beauty is fleeting and charm is deceptive. But I want to say something to you. That doesn't mean that virtuous women are dog ugly. Look at my wife. She's drop dead gorgeous. So it's not that you got to be ugly to be virtuous. It's not that you cannot feel beautiful and be charming in order to be virtuous. But hear me when I say this. You can have charm and you can have beauty and lack the most important thing that a woman should possess, and that's reverence and fear for God. See, some women feel that they need to dress provocative to draw the attention of men. Some women think that they need to act overbearing and controlling in order to get things done. But then there's virtuous women. There's virtuous women who understand that great is the God that they serve. And they don't need to reveal themselves in ways to get attention. They get on their knees when they need attention from a man. And they draw strength from God. They draw near to God. And they get something that a lot of women never learn to understand. And that's the value of fearing God and loving God. If you believe that, say amen. And so it's not that a virtuous woman is ugly or old. Or old-fashioned, I should say, not old. I mean, you know, I got to watch what I say. Looking around here, I'm already seeing. If looks could kill, I would be dropping right now. A lot of older women are very virtuous women. Very virtuous women. But you don't have to be all those things. You can be charming and beautiful and still be virtuous. Can you say amen? Reward her, the scripture says, for all that she has done. That's what Mother's Day is all about. But we want to practice that every day. Can the guys say amen this morning? Now, here's the question that I want to throw at you, because really when we read those opening verses, what we found was a question being posed to us. We read all these wonderful things being said about virtuous women, what their traits are, what their characteristics are. But really what happened in the very beginning was a question was being asked to the reader. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find one? How many of you ever heard somebody say, guys, I'm talking to you now. How many of you ever heard one of your friends say, you just can't find a good woman nowadays? Well, that's true if you're looking at the tavern or the strip club. You're probably not going to find a faithful girl there. You go to a 12-step meeting looking for somebody that's got their life figured out. You're probably not going to find somebody that's got their life figured out. Hey, I'm not knocking people in 12-step meetings. That's where my life got straightened out. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's not the place you want to go shopping for a wife. In fact, let me just say this. If you're going to a 12-step meeting, there are more important things you need to figure out than who you're going to marry. You better figure out your own garbage. You better get your own closet cleaned out. You better get them bones in your closet dealt with and removed and get them grave clothes taken off, because even if you found a good woman, you'd done ruined her.
That's right.
Oh, boy. This is going over real good this morning. Just as I thought that it would. But it's going to change. So virtuous woman. Now, I'm talking now to the women, but virtuous women, you know, the thing about a virtuous woman, all those wonderful things that are said about a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, yet many times virtuous women feel completely unnoticed. They feel as though the world does not even know they exist. And let me just say something. In our day and age, it's becoming more and more, because there was a time when virtue mattered. We live in a day where holy things have been made unholy. I'm talking as a dad. You can't even buy clothes for a 6-year-old or a 9-year-old that are not provocative anymore. You can't even go to I'm talking go to Walmart or any of these big, you can't buy clothing for girls that don't try to sexualize them at 9 years of age. We live in a day in which holy things have been trampled on. And many times virtuous women feel as though they are the minority, and that's because you are.
That's right.
You can feel unnoticed. As a virtuous woman, you may feel unloved at times. You may feel unappreciated. There's no doubt about it that if you live the life of faith and live a life of virtue as a woman and live out Proverbs 31 in your life, you are going to feel different than the people that you work with. You're going to feel different than the other girls that you know, the women that you know. Why? Because you are different. There may be times even in your church life where you feel like you are the only one that's standing for virtue. Many times a virtuous woman will feel outnumbered, will feel, you know, outcasted. And also, as a virtuous woman, you have to understand there are going to be times when you feel extreme pressure to compromise the virtuous traits that Christ has established in you. Well, it's okay to go out and do this on a Friday night, you know. It's okay to go to the club with everybody else, you know. And all those things that can press a virtuous woman But hear me when I say this. A virtuous woman understands something, that God is looking for women such as this. Glory to God. They understand this verse right here, that the eyes of the Lord are searching. Everybody say searching. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What is the eyes of the Lord doing? Looking for someone. Looking for someone that he can show himself strong for. That he can show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart, hear me now, whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking for virtuous women to bless. God is looking for virtuous women to prosper. God is looking for virtuous women to increase and give ministry opportunity to. God is looking for virtuous men in the same respect. Can you say amen? You, God is searching for women like these. You talk about people in the Bible, women who were virtuous. And I want to mention some names from the Bible today. Because, you know, I look out in this crowd this morning and I see women who have a past. Many times, if you come from a background, in fact, like mine, you know that your past is pretty messed up, pretty flawed, pretty marred, pretty ugly. In fact, it's usually stuff we don't want to talk about. And sometimes it's those things that make us believe that we can't be virtuous. But when you look at the women in the Bible who we would classify under the column of virtuous women, what you find is they were probably a whole lot worse than you. Look up here at me, women. You know, on your worst day, you probably weren't near as bad as many of the virtuous women in the Bible. We are talking about women who were whores, professional prostitutes. I hope that word doesn't bother you. It's in the scripture, by the way. There were women of the scripture who sold themselves, but yet they were in the end classified as virtuous women. Women who could not bear children. Think about the shame and the condemnation that falls upon a woman who can't have child. The one thing that women want to do is have a baby. And yet there are times for circumstances and reasons, I cannot explain to you why that happens. I don't have the answer to that question. But we do know that in this life, there are women who don't have babies. No, it's not fair. No, it's not God trying to punish the individual. Yet there are people who struggle in those areas. And that can cause a woman to feel like they're unloved by God or unwanted or passed over by God. But yet we see in the scripture there were many women, not one, not two, many women who were barren, who couldn't have children, who questioned their own motherhood and womanhood. But yet they, in the end, they were amongst the rankings of virtuous women. Can you say amen? I'm going to list for you this morning some women that we all would agree were virtuous. How many of you know the story of Rahab? Rahab is a virtuous woman. But her life did not start off as a virtuous woman. She was a prostitute living in a pagan land. She was not virtuous in any respect, but something changed and shifted in her life. She was a woman with a past. A woman with a past not worth bragging about. A woman with a past who she probably wished she could forget and not remember anymore. But in the end, she was willing, listen now, she was willing to put her past behind her and to trust in the Lord. As a prostitute, she stepped out in faith and in courage, and she invited the spies of Israel to hide in her house, and she put her trust and commitment in God. She looked past her past. Can you say amen? Amen. She was a woman of virtue. We could talk about Esther. Esther is such a wonderful story of a virtuous woman. Here's a woman who was an orphan. Everybody say an orphan. Who was taken in by an extended family member and raised. Her whole life, she felt like an orphan. We talked just a few weeks back about an orphaned spirit and how God wants to bring us and adopt us into his family, and how many times people who feel orphaned are the very people who don't feel like God would want them to be a son, that they'd have to be stepchildren. And here was a woman who was dealing with some of that. But yet, as an orphan, she was courageous enough, hear this now, to enter into the presence of the king. She came into the presence of the king and asked for great things. She interceded for her people. Even though she was orphaned, even though she may have wrestled with and struggled with feelings of inadequacy, she overcame those and she came into God's presence. She came into the presence of the king. The application for that is us. We need to come into the presence of God our king, regardless of what we think of ourselves. That's virtuous. Talk about Hannah, one of my favorite women in the Bible, a woman who was bitter of soul. The Bible says in bitterness of soul, she wept because she could not have children. She wasn't bitter. She was so agonized in soul. She wanted something so desperately. She wanted something so deeply, but yet her whole life could never find it. No matter what she did, she could not attain the very thing that she desired most. And she poured her heart out to God in prayer. The Bible says in bitterness of soul, she wept to the Lord and begged God to hear her prayer. And guess what happened? He heard her prayer. He answered her cry. And she gave child. And then her virtue went even further than that, because after she had child, guess what she did? She gave that child back to the Lord. She said, God, this gift is so great. And I made a commitment with you that if you would just hear my one plea, if you would hear my one cry, that I would honor you by giving you back what you've given me. Listen to the virtue in that. All the things that God has done in our life, all the blessings that the Lord has given us, many times those things pull us away from God. But people of virtue are people who say, God, I thank you for the house. I thank you for the money. I thank you for all the things that you've given me, but those things are yours. You gave them to me, and I'm not going to let them get in the way of my relationship with you. Can you say amen? Amen? That's virtue. How about Mary Magdalene? A woman who had many demons. For real, many demons. She was demon-possessed. The Bible says that she had seven demons that Jesus cast out of her. She was a woman who, according to history, she was a prostitute as well. But she was a mess. But yet, she came into Jesus' presence, and his grace and his love and his mercy totally transformed her. Everybody say, a virtuous woman. And how about the woman with the issue of blood? A woman with an issue of blood, she tried everything that the world had to offer and could not get well. And then she realized something. And this is the first step towards becoming a woman of virtue, or a man of virtue, or a person of virtue. Realizing that one touch from Jesus is all you need. It's all you need. Just one moment in the presence of Jesus. Again, I'm going to ask the question, who can find a virtuous and capable woman? You know, a lot of times, in fact, you've probably heard Proverbs 31 preached on Mother's Day before. Raise your hand if you've ever heard Proverbs 31 preached on Mother's Day. You know, a lot of times you've probably heard virtue explained as things. Well, I want to give you the Bible's definition of what virtuous is. Because what virtuous is not, virtuous is more than holiness. How many of you ever heard Proverbs 31 preached? In fact, I was just talking a little while ago about modesty. But virtue, according to the Bible, is much more than holiness. It's much more than a woman of purity. It's much more than a woman of modesty. Let's stop here for a moment. Do you know a woman can possess purity and dress modest and not even have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And let me just say this, a woman or a man can practice external things that we would call holiness, because we gauge holiness by things that we can see. God gauges holiness on the heart. You understand what we're talking about? And so a person can attain external holiness without even having a relationship with Jesus. You don't believe that? Look at the Jews. They don't have a relationship with Jesus and they practice all these things. And so a lot of times we think this has to do or is the gauge or the key to being a virtuous woman. But I want to give you the Bible, the Hebrew definition of that word virtue, so that you can get an understanding of what it really means. Virtue, according to, in fact, it's only used a few times in the Bible. And as I was telling Linda Mulliken earlier, that word virtue is used in the New Testament when the woman with the issue of blood came up and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible says, virtue left him. That begins to give you an idea of what it is to be a virtuous woman. What happened when virtue left Jesus? Power left Jesus. Incredible, supernatural, dunamis, transforming, miraculous power exited Jesus. The Bible called it virtue, and the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? We're not just talking about a woman who wears nice clothing and a woman who possesses some nice external things. We're talking about a woman who walks in power. Can you say amen? Because what virtue really means, in fact, the Hebrew word means this: excellence, heroic. Look up here at me, women. Did you know that you're heroes? Good night. I mean, you can feel so unlooked and so unnoticed and so unloved, but if you are a virtuous woman, you are the the Wonder Woman's of today. I'm used to teaching little boys, you know. I don't even know what kind of where's Edward at? He could tell me all kinds of superheroes for women. Rogue, okay, I don't even know who Rogue. Wonder Woman, I know, and I'll tell you, because my wife's childhood hero was Wonder Woman. That was Kelly's childhood hero. And honey, I want you to know something. You are a virtuous woman, therefore you are a Wonder Woman of your day. Not in a natural respect, but in a spiritual sense. If you are raise your hand if you believe you're a virtuous woman. You're not just a woman who practices holiness and modesty and talks different than other women. No, you are a hero of the faith. You are a woman like Rahab, whose name is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us and cheer us on in the life of faith. Friend, you are one of them if you're a virtuous woman. It literally means excellence, heroic, having valor, powerful, and exercising dominion. Everybody say exercising dominion. See, a virtuous woman is a woman who is like a warrior. That's literally what that word means. When Proverbs begins to speak of a virtuous woman, they're not talking about a woman who has mastered external things. They're talking about a woman who has been affected by internal things and affects everything externally based off of what has happened on the inside. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're shouting, I'll tell you that right now. This is about God doing a work in a woman's life and a man's life that is so incredible and so great that they become an extension of Christ in this earth. Can you say amen? A virtuous woman is a hero. All you women say, I'm a hero. No, you're not being haughty today. You know, for some reason, we think that to be humble is to not say things like this. You're not being prideful by declaring who you are in Christ. I'm going to say it again. Ladies, look up here at me. There is nothing haughty or prideful about saying what God says about you. God says you're virtuous. That means you are a hero. Come on, say, I'm a hero.
I'm a hero.
No, that wasn't better. That was awful. Try it again. You know, us guys don't have no problem telling y'all how good we are. Women, you better get this right. You got to say it and believe it if it's ever going to come to pass. If you're ever going to live like a hero, if you're ever going to live out your princess warrior, you're a princess. I love my little girl, Bella. She always tells me, Daddy, I'm a princess. Daddy, you're a king. Daddy, Mommy's a queen. Yeah, you're right, baby. That's exactly right. When we're at home, it doesn't matter what we're doing. Kelly could go outside and want to plant flowers, and guess what Bella wants to put on? A little dress and a bow in her hair. Why? Because that's what princesses wear. And she believes she is a princess. And I'm telling you something. None of you ever better say anything to her that would make her change her mind, or I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich. She's a princess. And the fact of the matter is, every woman in this place should perceive themselves exactly the way that 5-year-old girl does. Every woman, no matter what your past is, no matter what you were saved from, no matter how many demons were cast out of you, or how many grave clothes were removed from you, or how many failed marriages you had in the past, hear me when I say this. You are a princess of the Most High King, the King above every king, the greatest king in ever of the history of creation. You are His princess. Glory to God. What does it mean to be a virtuous woman? It means you are radical in faith. Everybody say, I don't just believe. I believe crazy stuff. You believe that blind eyes can be opened. You believe that mutes can talk. You believe that dead people can be raised to life. You believe that prostitutes can be made the righteousness of God. You believe that drug addicts can be set free like this guy right here. You believe that people who have struggled with junk their whole life, glory to God, in an instant can be changed. You believe that people who have no future can have the brightest future. You believe that when you breathe your last breath and fall to the ground, and your body dies, your life is going to leave that body and immediately go to God Almighty in a place called heaven. You believe that if you live long enough and that doesn't happen, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to come and reach down with his mighty hand and snatch us right out of this place and take us to his place, heaven, and then we're going to return and we are going to wreak total havoc on all them naysayers, all them doubters, all them people who said, no, Jesus, I don't want nothing to do with you. All those demonic forces that harassed you and harmed you, all those demonic forces that kept multitudes of people in darkness, Jesus, in the single strike of a hand, is going to give them the backhanded Pentecostal slap, and they're going to fall down, and they're going to be thrown into the deep abyss, and they're never going to tempt you again. They're never going to harm you again. That's what we believe. I'm talking radical stuff. My sins are not just gone. I'm a new creature in Christ. Sickness can't dwell in this body because the Holy Ghost is in this body. We believe radical things. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Virtuous women, they're aggressive in prayer. They don't just pray when they're worried. When they're angry, they pray. I'm telling you, man, you've got to start getting angry at what the devil is doing to your family and to this world. If you don't somehow get in touch, and listen to me, there is something about being a warrior. You've got to get mad at the injustice. You've got to get angry at what is happening to people if you're ever going to pray with a warrior spirit. If you're ever going to operate in the way that God wants you to operate in, you've got to get angry. Listen, Jesus, that's what the zeal of the Lord is. It's passion for God and the kingdom of God more than anything else. Jesus got angry with the sin and the wickedness of the world. He took some, he made a whip and he went into the temple. And in anger, he drove out all those that were lying and cheating and corrupting religion of the day. Everybody say he was pretty angry. There have been some Sundays I wanted to do that. I just figured I wouldn't have a church to come back to if I did. It's a true story. I'm just saying the truth. A virtuous woman is aggressive in prayer. She's mighty in combat. She's one who knows who she is in Christ. A virtuous woman, or a virtuous man for that matter, is never bullied by Satan. You're not bullied by Satan because you understand he's a defeated foe. You're not pushed around. You're not broken down by him. Having done all to stand, you stand therefore with your loins girt about with the belt of truth. Huh? With the shield of faith quenching every fiery dart that he would throw your way. Right? With the breastplate of righteousness guarding and protecting your heart from any lie that he would speak against you. The helmet of salvation protecting your mind from any lie, any seed that would try to get in it. The preparation of the shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. You preach the gospel and you go. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Glory to God. See, you stand your ground. You're not bullied. And you know, some of you guys are going to shout amen when I say this, but you women, you're just crazy, okay? Just ain't no doubt about it. A virtuous woman is a crazy woman, okay? Well, some of you know what it is to be crazy, but you've been crazy in the natural. Now it's time to get crazy in the spiritual. It's time to say, it's what the importune widow did. She was a crazy woman. She kept going back to the unjust judge, telling him, look, grant me justice against my adversaries. Day after day, she went back and she wore him out with her craziness. Can you say amen? Amen. All you women say, I'm crazy. And all you men say, you're just now figuring that out? What? We're just having fun. It's true, though. In closing, I'm going to read you a verse. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 through 38. I want to show you the power of a virtuous woman and the end result of a woman of virtue. This is the story told where the angel comes to declare to a 15-year-old virgin who had never been with a man that she was going to give birth to a son. and that this son was going to be the seed of God, and that she was not going to give birth to a human being, she was going to give birth to a God man. You understand what we're talking about? She was going to give birth to the Son of God. She says to the angel, when the angel tells her this, how can this be since I am a virgin? Stop. How many of you would say it is impossible for a virgin to have a baby? It's impossible. Look at me. There's nothing possible about it. It cannot happen. A virgin cannot have a baby unless God tells the virgin she's going to have a baby. And let me tell you something about a virtuous woman. You got to stop and consider, what would you do if you were visited by an angel tonight, Connie, and you'd probably punch him if he told you he was going to have a baby. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. What? Think about that. What would you do if an angel came to you and said to you, you're going to have a child, but you were a virgin, 15 years old, never been with a man, what would you think? Would you think you're losing your mind? Would you, honestly, put yourself in her shoes. What must have been going on internally in this young lady? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One, everybody say the Holy One. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your aunt, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Listen to this word. Now, I love this. I put this translation up here for a reason. Most modern translations use the phrase that we throw around in our church all the time. The angel said, in fact, if you read the NIV or the King James Bible, you'll find your Bible says it this way, for nothing is impossible for God. We did a whole series on that a few years ago, nothing's too hard for God. And we pulled that series from that line in the Bible, nothing's too hard for God. But literally translated, do you know what the angel said? He didn't say nothing's too hard for God. He literally said this, for no word from God will ever fail. Oh my gosh, that's better yet. I mean, we all know nothing's impossible for God, but what we need to know is no word that God gives you will ever fail, glory to God. Nothing that God ever speaks to you will not come to pass, because the moment God says that it'll happen, it's gonna happen. And what did Mary, this radical, crazy, this woman of God, this virtuous woman say? She didn't say, well, I can't believe that because I'm 15 and I'm a virgin. She didn't say, no, that's impossible and my doctor knows nobody could ever have a baby that's not been with a man. She simply said this, I'm your servant, Lord. I'm your servant, Lord, and may it come to pass exactly the way you said it would. May your word be fulfilled in me. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there is something in that, and I'm talking to women this morning, but I'm also talking to men. What God is looking for in his search for a virtuous man or a virtuous woman is an individual that will not question the radical claims of Christ, that will not question the bold statements that God declares, but much more will say, I am your servant and may it be done in me exactly the way you said. I don't understand how, I don't know when, I don't need to know why, but I believe that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. Can you say amen? Amen? So much that God has promised to each of us seems unreachable. So much. So much that God has promised us seems unattainable. It seems like it's impossible and too good to be true. How many of you would agree with that? So much. In fact, most religious circles, instead of exercising faith and encouraging people to say what Mary said, nevertheless, be it unto your servant as you've said, they try to reason these things away. You cannot reason away the miraculous power of God. You can't do it. And you're silly and ignorant and naive at best if you do it. You gotta be radical, friend. You gotta be crazy. You gotta be different than every other person who totes a Bible and goes to church. Friend, I'm telling you something. I don't want to hear what most Christians have to say can come to pass in my life because they don't know what they're talking about. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what God has planned for me. I want to hear what God has prepared for me. The good works that God wants to see come to pass in my life. I don't really care to listen to too many other people because most people are so full of doubt and unbelief, nothing they say I want. You get sick and they try to tell you, well, God's trying to, you know, some people are going to die in this. Don't listen to somebody like that if you're not well. Good night. There's somebody better to hear from. There's somebody that's got a better report and better news. Don't listen to people like that. You get around somebody who's going to tell you something so good that you wonder if it's true. You get around somebody that's going to talk such gospel to you that you really have to exercise great faith to believe it. Because the Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all you could ask or think. You need to get around somebody crazier than you've ever seen. You need to get around some radical person who believes that God can take somebody that had their arm cut off and cause a new one to grow. And there's some Christians that don't believe God could do that. He did it in the Bible. For no word from God will ever fail. Everybody say this out loud. If God said it, that settles it. It will come to pass. If I continue to believe, and I like this one, the impossible becomes probable when God speaks. Some things are impossible until God says otherwise. That is why, listen now, that is why it's so important for everybody in this place to hear from the Lord, to hear from God. You've heard from people, you've heard from your friends, you've heard from preachers. You've heard from televangelists. Now it's time to hear from God. What does God have to say about your condition? What does God have to say about your finances? What does God have to say about your marriage? What does God have to say about your life and your destination? What does God have to say about it? See, there were times when Mary questioned. There were times when unbelief tried to capture her. There were times when natural understanding tried to corrupt her faith. There were times when she probably literally felt crazy. Imagine what she thought the first time the baby kicked. What the heck is going on in me? There were times when she probably wondered if she was wrong for believing. But she was a virtuous woman. She was radical in her faith. She was fierce in battle. She was aggressive in prayer. And she refused to change her mind. She stood her ground. And everybody stand up on your feet. God is searching for people like this. God is looking for people just like that. Why is God looking for people like that, by the way? I'll tell you why. To establish his will in this earth. He's looking for people who simply say, God, doesn't make sense to me in my natural thinking, but if you said it, I'm going to believe it. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. Close your eyes if you would. And just every person lift up your hands. We're going to close this out today together. Everybody say out loud, Lord Jesus, so much of what you said seems impossible, but I'm going to believe. I want to hear from you about my life, about your plan for my life. And no matter how radical it seems, my word to you, may your word be fulfilled in my life. You've called me healed. May that word be fulfilled. You've called me free. May that word be fulfilled. You've called me righteous. May that word be fulfilled. You've called me the head and not the tail. You said I would be above only and not beneath. You said I'll be blessed when I come and blessed when I go. You said I'll borrow from none and lend to many. You said I'd live in houses that I did not build. You said I'd eat from vineyards that I did not plant. And I say to you, let your word be fulfilled in me. I am your servant. And be it unto me according as you have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I appreciate you guys being here this morning. Thank you for coming out. And I want to invite everybody to come back next week. We're going to start a new series. It's going to be great. Look forward to seeing each of you. God bless all you Marshallese brothers and sisters for coming over and being with us this morning. Grab their hands and shake it and tell them you're glad they're here. And don't forget, May 22nd, we're going to have a day of fellowship. Hey, if you would like